Perhaps listeners have heard about the debate over an economist's efforts to predict what would occur if Senator Bernie Sanders' program were enacted. Here's the short version. An economist at UMass Amherst, Gerald Friedman, took a look at Senator Sanders' proposals. Increased spending for infrastructure, education, retirement security, health care, and to address the threat of climate change, all funded by progressive tax increases. Friedman then asked what the impact would be on the economy, median income, real wages, and the rate of unemployment were the Sanders program to be enacted. The result was totally unsurprising. Because of the large increase in spending, followed by a lagged increase in tax collections, the initial stimulus will raise incomes dramatically, reduce unemployment quickly, and therefore lead to rising wages. That is what any model of the economy tells you will happen. It is, by the way, similar to what happened in the years 1983-1985, when the economy was recovering from the deep 1982-83 recession. Four economists, former heads of the Council of Economic Advisers, decided that the conclusions of the Friedman analysis were, quote, absurd, and said so in an open letter. Paul Krugman of the New York Times made that letter the focus of a column in which he accused Friedman of doing exactly what Republicans who worship tax cuts do, predict outrageously high rates of economic growth due to their preferred policy. The problem with these criticisms of Professor Friedman is that they did not go over his research to see what was wrong with it. They just used their positions of authority to claim that the results he predicted, 5.3% real income growth, for example, were so high as to be absurd. In fact, however, all the figures show is that when the government engages in large-scale economic stimulus, the result will be quite large. This letter is a most unfortunate example of members of the economics profession deciding that because the results of a particular piece of research might be uncomfortable, namely that large deficits for short periods of time can create very positive impacts, the research and the researcher need to be trashed. But what's the substance of the disagreement between these economists and Professor Friedman? The issue boils down to how far from our economy's potential are we? In economics terminology, what is the output gap? Every economic student learns that during the Great Depression, the economy produced less than its potential because there were unemployed resources, idle factories, land not being cultivated, unoccupied buildings, and of course, most importantly, people out of work. It took the Keynesian revolution of the 1930s to convince the economics profession that involuntary unemployment could occur. Up until that time, except for writers like Karl Marx and other economists outside of the pale of acceptability, the story told by economists was that there was no such thing as involuntary unemployment, except during short periods of adjustment. The Great Depression proved that assertion nonsense. Keynes provided the theoretical analysis to explain why it was nonsense. There was insufficient total demand to employ all the available resources, including the unemployed people. This problem could be corrected by an increase in total demand, as was proven during World War II. The output gap, the key to why Professor Friedman argued that the Sanders program would increase employment and incomes so rapidly, measures how much incomes would increase if we took strong steps to employ all the unemployed resources. The recovery from the Great Recession of 2008-2009 has been painfully slow. There is still a significant output gap, which provides a lot of opportunity to raise incomes and employment. Even if Professor Friedman's numbers are optimistic, it is hard to believe it wouldn't be worthwhile trying to achieve those results.